The Morning Rush Podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
On air and streaming now on HitThatLine.com. This is The Morning Rush.
All right, welcome back into The Morning Rush. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with you on this Hot Take Monday presented by Crabtree RV.
Yeah, exit 13 off of I-40 next door to the Cracker Barrel. You've seen it many times driving down Interstate 40. Right now you can buy at a fraction of the original MSRP on used motorhomes, fifth wheels, and travel trailers. They get a great selection of pre-owned inventory, so save thousands now at Crabtree RV in Alma. Next door to the Cracker Barrel, online anytime at CrabtreeRV.com. Crabtree RV, it's where your family's dreams come true.
It's funny when we brought up the question of the worst games, weather conditions at least, that we have been to or whatever reason it may be. There's been some of them that people have brought up that have been really good. The 2010 Liberty Bowl in Memphis.
Yeah. I wasn't there for that one. That was brutally cold. What that made me think of some of the Cotton Bowls that I've been to in the old Cotton Bowl Stadium. We played Oklahoma one day. That was brutally cold weather.
And 2001, 2002, somewhere?
2002. Played Texas in 2000. And that weather was nice. It's 10 a.m. start. Fine, but yeah. Both of those games were 10 a.m. starts. But it was nice weather that day. The Oklahoma game was brutal and cold. And then the Missouri game wasn't no fun either. It wasn't as bad as the Oklahoma game, but it was...
Which, how funny is that you go to Dallas? I know that everybody experiences a winter a little bit, but Dallas, you don't expect it to be as brutally cold a lot of times. And then when those Cotton Bowls happened, it seemed like those times it was brutally cold. But no, I think that, those were interesting ones. And it's usually bowl games, too, that people end up bringing up.
The football itself, let's get back. I mean, we talked about the crowd and the weather and whatever, but what did we think of the football itself that Chad Morris put on the field?
I mean, it was about what I expected, a practice, a scrimmage. There wasn't anything that I saw that stood out besides maybe a couple of guys that you had hopes for, you felt good about, like a Randy Ramsey. He's able to get to off the edge, has a lot of speed, a lot of athleticism. You saw some of that. Saw Ryan Pulley out there, looks good from bouncing back from an injury. He's destined to at least be a solid defender, maybe an all-SEC type of player. You saw some guys, even like T.J. Hammonds, get a little more involved. Chase Hayden didn't have a whole lot of run, but you just saw practice. I mean, I don't think there was anything too crazy about it.
I like the tempo. They got to the line quick. They didn't necessarily snap the ball quick, but I think that will come with time. You can see what they're trying to do, though. You can see the building blocks going down. They're still digging footings on this thing. This house is not even framed up yet, what they're trying to do.
But foundation's been laid.
You know, I'm not even sure they've gotten that far. I think they're just digging footings still.
No.
I ain't sure they gotten to the point of pouring a foundation, but they're working on it. So
let's go to Gary, who's on the phone line.
Gary in Arkadelphia.
Good morning.
Oh, no.
Oh, geez.
Hello.
Hey, there you are.
You there?
Barely.
Question is, are you there?
Hello.
Now I put Gary on hold there, and let's see if we can get a better signal than that.
We need to make another.
We
got to
hear what when
that.
Gary calls. We got to hear what he's got to say. But
if we can't hear you, if we can't understand you, we don't got anything.
Our audience deserves to hear Gary in all of his glory. You know,
apparently so. But Chad Morris even said going into the spring game that it's very vanilla. The offense is going to be vanilla. We're not going to call a lot of plays. It's still getting the hang of things. It's still figuring things out. That's essentially what he's been saying, and that's essentially what we saw. You saw a team. You saw a practice. You saw a scrimmage. Where they're still trying to figure everything out. Slow, painful process. Yeah.
Played five different quarterbacks, got two more coming in for the fall, so it'll be interesting to see how all of this works out. We'll talk about this with Tom Murphy in a minute. What are the odds that Cole Kelly or Ty Story are not the starting quarterback by October 1?
Man, if we're putting odds on it, I mean, there's no telling.
What percentage would you put on that?
I don't know. We'll have to
talk.
1%?
Yeah.
1%?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, and you have to look at it like this. They're putting a lot of time and effort in those guys. So for somebody to beat those guys out, not only do you have to, I mean, yeah.
That's a good point.
It'd be really, really tough for those guys to lose out to somebody not already on campus.
I'm going to try Gary again.
Yep.
What's going on, Gary?
Good morning, guys. I mean, it's time.
Kind of.
Yeah.
No, not really.
No.
We tried, Gary. We tried.
He's going to have to drive to the mountain. I don't know what. Gary's phone service used to be pristine. Never an issue. And now I don't know if he's moved or if. I don't know what's happened.
No clue.
Isn't it funny, though, that I was thinking about this the other day, just a random thought on that? You can get satellite radio in your car no matter where you're at on the planet, but yet there's still places you can't get cell phone signal. Yeah. Or at least a consistent one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that's probably for all of you that have Sprint, because I was actually on the plane and I was getting cell phone signals because I got AT&T. So.
Right. We're going to try this one more time?
No, let's go to PA and Texarkana. PA?
Hello?
Yeah. See.
Yeah, you guys were talking about the percentage of the likelihood of Cole Kelly or Ty Story starting on.
We're not starting
first
actually.
Game. Yeah. Are you talking about October 1st? I'm talking about
October 1. I think it's like a 0% chance one of those two guys is not your starter the first part of the season.
I agree with that.
I think it's like zero. But what is the percentage chance someone else other than those two could just earn the job? I'm not talking about injury. I'm talking about earning the job at some other point in the season.
Well, the guy that I saw, and I watched it briefly because I have to admit I was watching the Masters. All I wanted to see was part of the first half and how they set up, you know, and what they were trying to get accomplished. Because I listened to your show the other day when you had Coach Morris on there. He said, we're not going to show much. We're just going to kind of go through the motions of how we're trying to do things. So, anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that whoever the guy was, I think it was Hayward or whatever his name was, the guy that number 11, I think is his number.
Dalton Hyatt?
Dalton Hyatt. Ben Kidd that started the third quarter.
Hyatt.
I'm sorry. He looks like the most athletic kid out there. He throws a pretty good ball. Now, I know there's a learning curve he's got to make, but also there's a learning curve that the other guys have to make also. I mean, this is new to them, too. So I'm going to go with the most athletic guy, and I'm going to say that there's a 33% chance that neither one of those two guys are going to be starting.
Yeah.
Because if we can't move the ball with either Story or
Cole Kelly,
they're not going to sit there and just grind their wheels. I don't see the patience in Coach Morris that I did in Brett Bielema, and simply because that's just not his nature, and he's not going to sit around there and we'll develop here eventually. I mean, he wants to get things done. You know, he and I snapped his fingers, and it's a full tilt boogie in and get in the left lane and hammer down type thing. You know, he's ready to get it going, and I just don't know how patient he's going to be with a, I'm sorry to say this, but a plotter and a guy who will not, who just doesn't have, in my opinion, what it takes to play at this level.
PA, thanks for the call. I agree about the patience, but the other thing, Chad Morris has a year where he has some leash. I mean, no one's expecting a whole lot in year number one. But we have this conversation because, and it's probably by design, and we'll talk about this with Tom Murphy in a minute. Neither one of the starting quarterbacks blew you away. Now, I'm not sure that it was going to be possible for them to exceed your expectations in a spring game that was going to be very limited, very vanilla, very base. I'm not sure what anybody could have went out there and done anyway to say, wow, there's the guy that's going to lead us to the promised land of seven wins, you know. So I'm not sure any quarterback was going to even have that opportunity.
And I think at Chad Morris, the type of coach he is, you're not going to have to worry about, because I get what he was saying. You don't have to worry about him not putting the best player in position to be successful, not just waiting on who's your favorite, putting the guy who's going to get you victories in those positions.
All right, we'll talk about it with Tom Murphy in just a moment. Brought to you by Gaston's White River Resort. Perfect time to be planning your trip to Gaston's. Springtime, I know, is here. I know the weather hadn't been very springish the last few days, but it's going to be a great time to catch some great trout on the beautiful White River. And the thing you're going to get at Gaston's, that I can promise you this, because I've experienced it everyone I've talked to that's listened to the show, that's been up there, they experience it, is the customer service you get each and every time at Gaston's. They personalize your trip. They make sure you get the guides that you need to put to do the kind of fishing that you want to do. If you want to make an all-day trip, a half-day trip, if it's for the kids and getting the kids around fishing, there's nothing better than to get your kids away from iPads and iPhones and tablets and all that stuff and get them out on the White River and do some fishing. It's a great family time together. Gaston's gets all the customer service angles right on this. They do each and every time. And that's the great part. They make sure and they go the extra mile to make sure it's perfect for you and your family, or you and your buddies that are going for a great weekend. They do it all there at Gaston's, from, you know, getting, like I said, the guide and the boat and the motor and everything lined up there, and get everything set for you on the dock. Dinner reservations, the perfect cabin, the perfect lodge, just everything you need there at Gaston's is waiting on you. 870-431-5202 for a total experience, total weekend. Let Gaston's put it together for you. Gaston's White River Resort, online at Gaston's.com. 870-431-5202 for reservations. Gaston's, a first-class time.
Welcome into the Morning Rush here on this beautifully cold Monday morning. Appreciate everybody listening in today, and thank you for making us a part of your day today. I am John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with me. Hope you guys had a wonderful weekend. I know
weekend.
I did.
It was a great weekend, despite being more like winter than spring.
Man.
It was a great sports weekend. Of course, the Masters is always one of my favorite weekends of the year, so...
Yeah,
it didn't really matter what the weather was to me. It was going to be a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, you were going to watch that, and we're going to talk about the Masters. Man, we got Hog Baseball, where they sweep Auburn in a much-needed series. When you give me that look, Nick, I hate that, because it seems like I said something wrong. What?
No, I'm wondering what you're doing here, because I could have sworn I just saw you win the Masters, and you just won a lot of money. So I'm wondering why you are still working.
And how you grew the beard back so fast.
The Morning Rush.
Yeah. Well, if I had won the Masters right now, I would not be doing the Morning Rush show.
Okay.
At least on Monday.
All I ask is you take your buddies here with you. Just let us play one round with you at Augusta.
Oh, you'd want Nick to play a round at Augusta?
I don't have to play a round. I just want to share.
Drive the cart?
I just want to share
they don't have carts.
The celebration after the fact.
Okay. Yeah. So there you go. Show up for the after party. But no, Patrick Reed getting his first majors victory. So we're going to talk about that. Arkansas sweeping Auburn. We're also going to, of course, talk about the spring game in Little Rock during what felt like a late game in November, more or less, ended up being, it was, let's be honest, we talked about it all last week leading up to it. I don't think any of us expected a huge crowd. And
You mean the weather felt like late November, because none of the football felt like late
absolutely
November.
No. At least you hope it doesn't feel like late November for that, but... The weather was rough. There's about 7,000 fans that showed up, and kudos to those fans. My goodness. I can't, with all the stuff going on this week and the fact that that's what you were able to choose your day to do, power to you. I'm proud of you. Happy for you. But it wasn't anything that we can sit there and say, man, this is what we've been looking for. It was mainly just a, hey, here's kind of what to expect as far as flow, as far as how we're doing the tempo offense with the cue cards on the sidelines and who's quarterback and where, who's doing what, what some strengths and weaknesses. It was just a little nice little refresher to say, okay, this is what we can expect as far as the look and feel of it all. Hopefully not necessarily the success of it all.
And even the I don't say strange thing, but the thing that's different is they're not even done with spring practice. Generally, the red-white game is your 15th and final spring practice. But they've still got, two more workouts to go before they complete and finalize all their spring. So even Saturday's red-white game is not going to put spring practice officially in the books for this football team. But it gave everybody a glimpse. I don't know that, and maybe we'll get a feel for this morning with the phone lines and Twitter reaction and the discussion here on the show. Did it infuse some excitement around the state when people saw the tempo and kind of see the blueprint and see what Chad Morris is trying to do with this offense under Joe Craddock as OC and the five different quarterbacks he got to play, and the fact that Cole Kelly wasn't the first quarterback out and Ty Story was, they both played about the same number of snaps and had pretty similar stat lines in the game, but does that get people a little more energized for what's going on with the football program? How much will what fans saw on Saturday carry the conversation of the summer?
I think it excited people just to see football. That was at least the first part of it, just to do that.
But excited to see Chad Morris football.
Yeah.
Excited to see a new day of Razorback football and a return to something that's, you know, 180 degrees from what we've been doing for the last 5 years.
I don't think it changed anything. I honestly don't. At least from going off of the Twitter reaction and message boards and all that and talking to fans, I don't think it moved the needle for anybody just seeing it. It was more just, okay, so this is what it's going to look like. But there was nothing about, man, can't wait to see this team play in the fall. Man, can't wait to see what these quarterbacks can do. Man, can't wait to see what this defense is going to look like. There was no can't wait about it. It was more or less just them sitting back and saying, all right. All right, so that's what we're going to be able to see. Hopefully he can do well. Maybe they can eke out a few wins here or there, but not expecting anything better in a 6-6 season.
The issue is you don't know what you're looking at because you have nothing to compare anything to. So are the defensive backs, are they the best in the SEC or the worst? So maybe are the receivers, are they the best or are they the worst? Offensive and defensive line, you just don't know what you're really watching and what you're comparing things to, whereas if you have a good team – normally, and you return a lot of players on one side of the football or the other, then you have a good idea that that side of the football is going to be good again heading into the year. And at this point, you just don't know. Like, every successful snap, is it because the offense is good? Is it because the defense is bad? Is it because it's scripted? And so, and that's what I think a lot of people are kind of reserved about is, okay, well, this is what we see, but what are we looking at?
I don't know what I'm looking at, and I'm somebody who's actually, you know, watching practices and going to these press conferences trying to figure it all out. I don't know what I'm looking at. I don't know what player is exactly going to be the guy that's a playmaker. There's some guys that had a really good spring game, at least in this instance. You had Ryan Pulley making plays, who looks like he's got the potential to be a great cornerback, which Arkansas hasn't had in a while. You had Randy Ramsey out there making some plays too. Cheyenne O'Grady had 2 touchdown catches. I mean, he looked athletic. You saw some guys that are like, okay, they look good, but the concerns that fans have and the things that have to be good to great for this team to be successful didn't show them anything. One of them's the offensive line. That has to be a good thing for this year. And you really didn't see anything one way or the other saying that this offensive line is going to be better or more improved than what it was from last year. Same thing with the quarterback situation. I mean, even though you have Cole Kelly and Ty Story and some guys that are highly recruited and they mixed in some younger guys there at the end too, no one stands out to say, okay, this is going to be the leader of the team. I feel confident in this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, the things that fans need to have assurance in to be able to feel confident about the season, there's nothing there that gives them that assurance right now.
Yeah. I think the one thing you left, and this is not necessarily what you want to leave, but it's just the reality, is they got a long ways to go.
Very much so.
This is a program, but this is what you expect when you're completely turning around a program from a pro style. Everything was recruited to run something 180 degrees different, and now they've got to retool everything. And I think these players can do it. It's just going to take some revamping. I think reshaping bodies, getting them faster. The thing I didn't see, and I think Chad Morris alluded to this talking down on the field with the SEC Network, is, listen, you know, we got to get a lot faster. They didn't have speed everywhere. And that's the one thing he has talked about from day one, is they're going to have speed. And they talked about this summer slimdown they're going to go through. They've got to get these guys faster. There's a graphic they put up about the height and weights of their offensive lines at SMU versus where they're at here at Arkansas. They're a lot heavier here. Now, maybe you got to find some middle ground, because I don't know that you can be in the 280 range in the SEC,
yeah.
You know, by design. But you can't be as heavy as these guys are now, probably, and have the quickness and the speed. So there's just some things they're going to need to do that just take time. You Rome ain't built in a day. I don't know if they're going to build Rome here, but, you know, if they're going to turn this thing around, and you said, well, you know, you made a comment, you know, this might be a 6-6. Well, that's a lot better than it was last year.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
You know, so if they get to a bowl game this year, that's a pretty good improvement.
Yeah.
You know,
I do have
that's 50% more wins than they had last year.
Yeah, I do have confidence though, and maybe I'm dumb, but I felt assured during the game whenever they were interviewing the coaches during the game, and they were talking about, okay, this is the play that they're trying to run. This is what we're trying to do. We want to get up to the line of scrimmage fast. And that's something that I am confident in, is that if it is a decision that needs to be made, if there's a play that needs to be made, if it's a close football game, whereas last year, if it was a close football game, you kind of cross your fingers and hope that Brett Bielema didn't get in the way. Whereas this year, you kind of feel as if going into the year, now I haven't watched this coaching staff at all, nor has anybody, because it's the first time that all these guys have been together. But on the offensive and defensive side, you just kind of have, you kind of have the feeling that if it's a close game, coaches aren't going to get in the way and mess up the game, or coaches aren't going to lose you football games. Whereas I felt like over the last 2 years, the coaching staff has lost football games.
Many times, in many instances. And I feel like it, with Chad Morris, too, me, at least this year, it's not going to be the X's and O's. It's going to be Jimmy and Joe's. They're not, just not going to have the guys out there. I don't think that it's going to be the play calling or the coaching. I'm not saying it's going to be perfect, but I think it's more so going to be the fact that they just don't have the talent this year if they end up struggling.
I mean, to me, watching Saturday was kind of like trying to judge how good the Mill's going to be based on how the Cal looks in the field. I mean, we just don't know yet. I mean, it's just so early in the process. We can see what they're trying to do. We see what the end game's going to be. The things I liked is they pretty well executed tempo to get to the line of scrimmage. They didn't snap the ball fast. They did get to the line fast, but there wasn't a lot of snapping the ball fast. But the other thing I really liked, they dialed up pressure on defense.
Yes, they did.
When's the last time you saw that in a spring game? Now they were smart about it. They didn't sack the quarterback and take him to the ground and punish their own teammates. But, you know, they get in there and put two hands on him and stop the play. So, you know, but they dialed up pressure. They brought blitzes. They brought what they needed to bring.
Well, if you look at what Randy Ramsey tweeted out after the game, you know what he's been through, and the getting off, kicked off the team and coming back and all that. He tweeted out, "When was the last time you've seen an Arkansas defense dial up pressure?
Mm-hmm.
I've been waiting my whole career to rush the quarterback, and this coaching staff has given me that opportunity." I mean, just that alone, again, it at least gives you a little instance of like, okay, maybe they're actually going to do stuff like
that. Right. But let's be fair now. Nobody ever told him last year, don't rush the quarterback.
No, but putting him in a position to do so, though.
And now, the couple of times he got sacks, though, he just blew past the offensive lineman. It wasn't like, we're about to run this crazy stunt. He just lined up, and he was a better athlete on that play. Now, I kind of understand what he's saying, but to be fair, nobody ever went in the game and said, okay, Randy, we want you to just drop back and zone coverage from the defensive line every play. Nobody ever told him that.
No, but maybe priority just wasn't put on that. I think it may be what he's referring to. But I don't know. We can talk about that and discuss that as well.
I don't think last year was a defense that dialed up a lot of blitzes, dialed up a lot of stunts.
And it had a dial tone last year.
I'm not sure they dialed up a lot of anything.
Yeah, but they got scored on so often. But we're going to continue to talk about the spring game as well and some other takeaways that we had on this Hot Take Monday, presented by Crabtree RV.
Yeah, exit 13 off of I-40 next to the Cracker Barrel in Alma. Motorhomes, fifth wheels, and travel trailers. Now is the best time to buy. I know it hadn't felt like spring the last few days, but springtime is here, and Crabtree RV has the RV for your next adventure at a fraction of the original MSRP. Shop today at Crabtree RV next to the Cracker Barrel in Alma. Crabtree RV, it's where your family's dreams come true.
This is Hot Take Monday on the Morning Rush. Brought to you by Crabtree RV in Alma. Crabtree RV, where your family dreams come true.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Download the Morning Rush podcast anytime at hitthatline.com and free on iTunes. This is the Morning Rush.
Welcome back into the Morning Rush. Going to be catching up with Tom Murphy here in just a second. Talk a little spring game with him as well.
Yeah, this weekend, the AR Hoops and the Jonesboro A&P partnered up for the NEA Next Level Showcase. It's this weekend in Jonesboro, April 13th, 14th, and 15th. Girls teams from Tennessee, Mississippi, of course, Arkansas, and Louisiana all competing this weekend in Jonesboro and multiple divisions. Great hotels and restaurants await you. You can check it out online at jonesboro.org or go to hitthatline.com and click on the AMP link that you'll see there. Visit Jonesboro this weekend for the NEA Next Level Showcase, April 13th, 14th, and 15th.
Let's go to Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, who joins us on the phone lines right now. Tom, it was a cold one down there in Little Rock for the spring game, and there wasn't a lot of excitement to it, but what were some of the takeaways that you took personally away from this game?
Well, I'm starting to think that defense, at least the front line of the defense, might be pretty good. And I'm not saying they're going to make a complete reversal, But I think there's some players who are going to contribute. I think they're going to get a little bit of pressure on the passer. Guys like Agim and Austin Capps and Briston Guidry and T.J. Smith are going to give them a little depth on the interior. And we know the linebackers are good. And, you know, Santos and some of those veterans in the secondary and Pulley, I think they're going to have a chance to be a solid defense. Now, offensively, not taking advantage of some things that were there hurt them. And I know Ty Story said, hey, you know, we were just kind of doing really vanilla stuff. We're going to be a different-looking team when we actually unleash in the fall. But that doesn't change the fact that Mike Woods broke open on a post, and he overthrew him at the end zone. And that needs to be a touchdown, and it might be a game-winning play against Colorado State or somebody down the line. And Cole Kelly also missed a pass to Mike Woods as well. And then a backup, Austin Ani, had Jordan Jones running solo deep. And if you make that play, you know, you fire everybody up. It's a touchdown for Jordan Jones and so on. They didn't make that play. So a little bit of a lost opportunity for offense. I think they're going to – the run game was okay. They got a long way to go, though, to be a real strong competitive team in the fall.
We saw five different quarterbacks play throughout the course of the practice. What do you think the odds are that someone – other than Ty Story or Cole Kelly, could earn the starting role at some point this season? I'm not talking about an injury, but someone else earn it.
Yeah, infinitesimal. Without the injury. It's as you saw, they in the first half, they went strictly with Story and Kelly. Those are the two contenders. And when someone asked about Hyatt being able to run, and Hyatt is fast, and I like the kid, you know, his skills. He's still a little bit thin, but Chad Morris's response to that was, well, we can't use him if we can only run the ball with him in there. So, in other words, Hyatt has got to pick up the passing part of the offense and just have a better grasp of the playbook. Not saying that can't happen over the course of the summer, but it looks to me they're pretty committed to those two, and it would really be an upset if someone else played next year.
Speaking with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now in the Morning Rush, Tom, do you make anything out of attendance numbers to these things? Is it a telling factor of how excited or how the fan base is welcoming in Chad Morris, or is it an overrated discussion point that gets talked about a lot?
I think it's a slightly overrated discussion point. The weather clearly had a big impact on this thing, and I know they estimated 7,000, but I heard there were TV guys who were used to seeing crowds there who said it was in the teens, and we thought they were going to say 20. When there might have actually been 16 or 17, and then they estimate 7. So I think there was more than 7,000 people in those stands. But anyway, it was just a bad confluence of events with other events going on, and it was pretty brutal out there.
All right, we'll have more time to talk football. Let's talk a little baseball because Arkansas got a series sweep over Auburn, and now they have ascended to the top of the Western Division standings with an 8-4 conference record and a great weekend for Dave Van Horn's club.
It really was. I mean, the comeback against Auburn, partly fueled by Auburn's mistake on the base pass, passing a guy on a home run, that was big. And then what they got out of Jake Reinl yesterday, that could be a season turner for him. And in turn, it's just another pitcher they can count on because, to me, pitching depth was the one thing that you worried about with this team because they could hit the ball. I have not seen a better collection of hitters from both sides of the plate, power hitters, guys with speed and all that, since I've been covering Arkansas baseball. So they got that part of it down. But, Ryan, though, I mean, you're talking about six innings of one-hit ball, the only hit being the non-home run. Wow, what does that do for you moving forward? And they used six pitchers over the weekend, so there are going to be some rested guys to get ready to face South Carolina next weekend.
You mentioned the home run deal that with Auburn that essentially cost them the game against Arkansas on Sunday. Have you ever seen a play like that? Or it seemed like there was a few of the weird calls going on in this series, but I've never seen anything like that where a guy who hits a home run passes up the runner that's in front of him and ends up getting called for the out.
Yeah, I've seen it. I mean, I can't cite you a specific example when I have, but it's a very rare thing, or pretty rare thing. But just the way everything happened, because in the press box, we thought Kerstad caught the ball. It just so happened that the ball came down right over the wall. There wasn't a foot gap or a 2 foot gap where you could see. It was right over the wall, and it was right by his glove. So his glove kind of obscured it. when he didn't pull the ball out for about 2 or 3 seconds, you're going, well, if he caught it, you know, he's going to be throwing back in to try to double a guy up. And that's what the Auburn runner should have keyed in on, right, the catcher. Instead, he at some point just assumed, maybe he thought he was being deep. So he bolted back to first. And if he had just kind of held his ground, it might have stayed a two-run homer. But I agree with Butch Thompson, the Auburn coach, that there was a delay in the call. It's just that what is the umpire supposed to do when he's not sure if the ball was out or not? And so that 2 or 3 seconds where no one in the park seemed to know other than Kerstad if he caught it, paid to Arkansas's dividends because they had the confusion on the bases.
Well, either way, Arkansas does get the series victory over Auburn. Appreciate you joining us, Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. We'll catch up with you later this week, Tom.
Sounds great, guys. See
appreciate you. It. Yeah, it's still a crazy play. But, again, sometimes them's the breaks when it comes to Razorback baseball or baseball in general. But we'll have more discussion about the spring game and Arkansas baseball, maybe even the Masters in the third hour on the other side.
The Morning Rush.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Opinions, videos, anytime, and always free. Streaming now on HitThatLine.com.
Welcome back into the Morning Rush. Appreciate everybody listening in today. It's amazing how fast the show flies by on Mondays. But there are so many different things going on over the weekend. So thank you for making us a part of your day today, as it is now time for the on-the-spot question of the day presented by Washington Regional.
Yeah, that's where you get world-class stroke care available in Northwest Arkansas at Washington Regional. Getting that immediate care is the crucial part. Sudden weakness, numbness, or problems with walking or speech are all possible signs of a stroke. If you see any of these symptoms, call 911 right away. Washington Regional, proud to be the first hospital in Benton, Boone, Carroll, Madison, and Washington counties to earn advanced certification as a primary stroke center. Learn more about how Washington Regional is providing world-class stroke care at WRegional.com.
Question of the day is, who's going to be the starting quarterback this season?
Ty Story. I mean, right now he's the leader of the clubhouse. It's kind of like asking who's going to win the Masters before they tee off at all yesterday. You'd say, Patrick Reed, he's got a lead. He's got, what was it, a 3-shot lead going into yesterday.
Safe bet.
It would be, that would be the answer. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Ty Story because right now he seems to have a thin, slight lead over all the other quarterbacks at this point.
I feel like it's going to be Ty Story too, but it's not like I'm feeling so confident in it that I'm not taking any other response legitimately. It's not like if you say, well, I think I'm maybe Cole Kelly, then I'm going to call you an idiot. It's just based off of what we've seen so far and what Chad Morris has said. But again, it is not based on anything that we have seen personally. There's nothing that Ty Story has done that to just separate himself from the pack. It's just he has gone out. He's done some nice things. He's obviously understanding the offense. It looks a little smoother underneath him than it would be at this point in time under Cole Kelly. But Cole Kelly's made some strides. So right now, I'm just going to go with Ty Story, go with the safe bet. But that doesn't mean I'll be shocked and surprised and appalled if come day one it ends up being Cole Kelly or maybe some other quarterback, maybe a Connor Nolan, maybe a Dalton Hyatt. I don't know. Lots of things can happen. I mean, we're in spring practice right now. You got two more of these babies. And then you go into fall camp. And fall camp is when it gets real. It's no longer just figuring things out. It's got to be, all right, we got to hit the ground running on this to where it's no longer about just trying to understand plays and understand tempos. Now we got to understand where everyone stands, what we're going to be doing, and preparing for opponents, scout teams, all of that fun stuff. So can't mess around and keep this competition. Someone's got to separate themselves by the time fall camp hits. And if I had to put my money on it right now, go with Ty Story. Simple as that.
Yeah. I mean, it will be interesting to see how the other groups come together, how the wide receivers develop, how they bring along a very shallow offensive line. I mean, no depth at all.
Zero.
As far as people they can turn to. They can't have any injuries in the offseason. They can't have anyone have something go awry. They can't have anyone transfer and leave. They are already razor thin at offensive line. So that's another position group to keep a close eye on. And they got as many quarterbacks, it seems like, as they do linemen. I know that's not, you know, completely factually accurate, but you stop and think about it. They're going to have seven quarterbacks in the room in the fall. They got five right now, and then they're going to have two more join them in the fall. They've only got, what, 10 linemen, and they're going to have, what, 13 on scholarship come fall?
Probably only seven or eight that actually play, maybe.
I mean, think about that a minute. Now, you only probably have one or two quarterbacks that play, you know, to counter that. But just stop and think about the numbers on the team, and you're going to have seven or eight. Yeah. I mean, seven quarterbacks and 12 or 13 linemen on campus.
There's not a single coach that I can remember in a very long time that's come into Arkansas and has to take over more of a bare cupboard than what,
well,
Chad Morse
is having
right now.
In some places not. You know, wide receiver, they got long lines of guys there.
Well, I think they have depth.
They have numbers.
Yeah, they have depth, but I'm talking including depth and just overall talent. Like, okay. I mean, if you think back to...
Well, there's a difference.
Yeah. Yeah, when you think back to when Brett Bielema got there, he had some NFL
now,
talent there.
Defensively, I think there's some guys that can make some plays. I think we focused so much on the offensive side in our discussions this morning. I think defensively, this is a unit under John Chavis that can be so much better than I think anyone's expecting. And I think Bielema's defense has left him some guys that can make some plays. We saw a few of those Saturday when they let him dial up some stunts and some blitzes and some pressures. You know, I'm not taking that just from Saturday. I'm just taking from last year, some experienced guys. You turn them loose a little bit. I'm not saying this is going to be a top three or four defense in the league, but I think it's got a chance to not be a bottom four defense in the league either.
It'll be improved, and I saw someone tweet at us when Tom came on and how he saw the defense and how there were some spots there and how you could think that could be improved. And, of course, he called the media out in general saying, oh, another guy saying the defense is going to be good. We're not stupid. Well, listen, with what Arkansas has right now and the quote-unquote playmakers that they have, a lot of them are on the defensive side of the ball. It was just, whether it was schemes or pressure or whatever, it just didn't fit what they were doing. But you think about a guy like Sosa Aguin. There's no question that kid has talent.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Pulley has talent. Mm-hmm. Randy Ramsey has talent. You've seen a couple of guys there that have talent and have showcased it a little bit. So if they can just put it all together, even a guy like Dre Greenlaw and Scooter Harris, two guys that have shown flashes, if they can just put it all together, they could have a very serviceable defense. Like you said, not a top four, but
I'm talking about being a defense that's 7th, 8th, 9th in the league, perhaps. And you go, oh, that's just mediocrity. Look at last year's numbers. I'll sign up for some 7th, 8th, 9th right now.
Because that's going up. That's improving.
I'll sign up for some of that. Because last year wasn't anywhere near that.
Nowhere near it. But I like that. I know John Chavis, people are still skeptical about him, too. But say what you want about the guy. The guy understands defense. He's had a lot of experience in defense, and I'm sure this is going to be one of the biggest challenges that he's ever had to endure as a defensive coordinator in the SEC when it comes to the talent and all that. But I feel like he'll at least put guys in the position to be successful. And Randy Ramsey, when we talked about earlier, his tweet about pressure and how he's been looking forward to having pressure, that's the type of stuff that you want to see out of John Chavis, where it's not going to be the greatest defense of all time, but you know what? He sees Randy Ramsey. I got a guy that can get after the quarterback. I have a guy that's athletic. So guess what? I'm going to make sure that I put him in a position to make plays that way. Same thing with Ryan Pulley. Same thing with Sosa Aguin. Just putting guys in position to adhere to their strengths while also working on the things that they need work on, but adhering to their strengths and putting them in position to make plays. If you do that and that alone, you'll be pretty good at defense. Not great. Pretty good.
And
good enough.
The other thing, offensively, there's a huge transition. It's almost 180 degrees. Defensively, they're going somewhat back to what they were doing the year before. And how much of a scheme change? I mean, scheme changes on defense are a lot easier to digest and understand. And I mean, I know there's new terminology and new coaches to get to know and new playbooks and that kind of thing. But 3-4, 4-3, going back to a 4-3, you know, all of that is, I don't want to say semantics, but it's minor in comparison to what the transition the offense is making. Would you agree? I think that's why we'll see the defense continue to be strides ahead of the offense when we get back into August and see practices. I still think the defense is going to be ahead. I know they had their scoring system, and I know how, you know, what the final score came out and all that, but I still think the defense won the day on Saturday. And I think in the end, we're going to see that for a while.
As long as I never have to hear the term Hogginese again, And, you know, we're simplifying things. We're going to do Hoganese. Well, no more of that. There's no more of that. Just go out there, make plays, put them in positions to be successful, and the rest will take care of itself. But the simplifications and the things that were being brought up is, oh, we're going to switch to a 3-4. Just go play defense. Just go make tackles. Don't give up 40 points a game. Don't look absolutely inept. Don't look slow. Just go out there and be simple and play defense. Because, you know, like you might mention defense and how it's easier to transition and all that. I would also make the argument that the defensive side of the ball is a little easier for players to be coached up in a hurry. From what I mean by that is it's easier to implement tackling methods that will help out players and they can actually put them into place a lot easier than what it could be for the offensive side of the ball. But the defense will be better than what it was last year. I believe that. I think the defense, and agreeing with Tommy, that it's ahead of the offense right now and probably will be ahead of the offense once the season starts. Maybe the offense will continue to improve. But there's some players on the defensive side of the ball that you can't overlook. I know John Chavis is going to have to utilize those guys and get all they can out of them. But they have experience on defense. They got some guys that had been able to make plays for a few years now. So who knows what's in store for this defense? Who knows what's in store for this defensive front? But if they can get after the quarterback, that'll at least help out a little bit in the secondary as well.
Yeah. Hey, it was a fun weekend watching the Masters. And if you enjoyed a lot of the tradition, a lot of just the scenic beauty of Augusta National, you enjoyed watching some of the names like on Thursday when they started the tournament with Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player leading things off, then you're going to enjoy the Legends of Golf at Big Cedar Lodge, which is coming up in just a couple of weeks, April 17th through the 22nd. They got a great week planned. Johnny Morris and the crew at the Legends of Golf and Bass Pro Shops have put together an unbelievable week. Go online to BassProLegends.com and just read everything that's going on that day. They're going to start off on Tuesday with a kids' golf and fishing clinic. And they brought in some guy named Tiger Woods to lead the golf clinic for the kids.
I heard of him.
And a guy named Bill Dance to lead the fishing clinic for the kids. I mean, just incredible what they've got going on for this. They're going to have, you know, some great events throughout the week. And then it all builds up to a final round on Sunday where they're going to have a celebrity skins shootout on Sunday that'll involve businessman and actor Mark Wahlberg, singer-songrighter Kid Rock, plus Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, Lee Trevino, and one of the Robinsons is going to be there as well, I think. So this should be a great time on Sunday. Saturday's going to be Family Fun Day. Dude Perfect, you know these guys?
I heard of them.
YouTube Sensation's going to be there. So going to be a lot of fun and something for the whole family at the Bass Pro Shops, Legends of Golf at Big Cedar Lodge. April 17th through the 22nd. Schedule and details all online at BassProLegends.com. They got discounts and free entries for veterans. Free parking available every day as well. You can call 888-347-4426 for details and order your tickets online at BassProLegends.com. That's BassProLegends.com. April 17th through the 22nd at Big Cedar Lodge. It's the Bass Pro Shops Legends of Golf.
You've been listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. And thanks for downloading the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.